We'll ask now our brother Ben to provide us words of exhortation, and he's entitled his exhortation, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God." Brother Ben?
Yes, that was well read, Brother John, and your reading will not be in vain. I'm going to use more than just the first verse. So, good morning, brothers and sisters. Some of you may recall that I spoke a while back on what a particular phrase from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20 meant. Turn with me there now. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the phrase that I want to bring to your attention is "bought for a price." I'll give you a little refresher of what the meaning of this phrase was almost maybe 2 years ago now when I gave this, but some of you might remember it. Basically, Christ's blood is what bought us into the service of God. And this parallels the way in which the Gentiles were allowed to take part in the covenant promises to Abraham if they had been bought with silver, with money. So the silver that bought Christ's sacrifice, so to speak, was the 30 pieces of silver that was paid to Judas Iscariot. And therefore, when it says we have been bought with a price, bought for a price, that the price is the blood of Christ, right? The blood that Judas, that was shed when Judas accepted the bribe of silver. If that's still a little unclear, talk to me afterwards. But today we're going to focus on the aspect that as Gentiles, we have been bought by Christ's blood to be servants of God. So that's the focus that we're going to have here. And what does this mean, brothers and sisters? Well, as we heard earlier from the reading in 1 Chronicles, men were chosen to serve the king in various duties and tasks. So let's turn there now, 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Starting in verse 1. Now the children of Israel after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, of every course were 20,400. So this idea here of, remember, being servants of God. Okay, so the word here served in verse 1 is Strong's number 8334, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, I don't speak Hebrew, which means, the word means though, to attend as menial or worshiper, and it also means to serve. So thus in this capacity, the officers who were appointed were to serve the king in any manner of courses. The word courses then, Strong's number 4256, means any section of the Levites, people or soldiers accompany a course, a division, or a portion. So in practice, this meant that the officers who were appointed had to lead and serve a certain company or portion of the people in order to fulfill the king's command. So the idea that they were leading and serving as well is implied there. A different leader from each of the 12 tribes was chosen to command 24,000 others in carrying out the courses that the king wants him to. These men were considered captains, meaning a head person in the Hebrew. And these captains were serving the king. So we have 12 of them from each of the tribes. And after this, we have the rulers of each of the 12 tribes who were also serving their tribes. And then come specific appointments such as being placed over the king's treasures, over them that did work of the field, over the vineyards, and over the flocks and the herds, to name a few of them that were there. And each man was assigned a certain task by the king. And the idea that we are assigned a task is key to understanding servitude and being a servant. Now, some people say, oh, it's so long. Why do they list all these names, right? Well, The importance that's being drawn out is that each person had a specific role to do. So they want to list all the specific roles that were done to show the importance of that role. And all of us have been assigned a role in God's house. David is an excellent example of a servant of God from the Old Testament. I'm sure you're all familiar with him. He is known as a servant of the Lord. God calls him David, my servant, on numerous occasions. He's even referred to as David, the servant of the Lord, in the titles of two of the Psalms, Psalms 18 and 36. And David understood that in order to be a good king, he had to be a servant to God first, and then to the people he had to serve. And we all know that kings who didn't serve God ended up doing evil in God's sight. So not only do we have David as an example of a king who served God, but we also have the examples of Joseph and Daniel. Both of them were servants of someone other than God. However, each of them served God first and their earthly masters second. Joseph served God first, as we see in the instance with Potiphar's wife, when Joseph tells her in Genesis 39, in verse 9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So Joseph knew God's laws and fulfilled them rather than the wishes of his master's wife. And Daniel was also forced to serve an earthly master. Yet he, like Joseph, served God first. We all know the story of how Daniel didn't bow down and worship an idol. Instead, Daniel continued to pray to God because his service to God came before his service to man. And Daniel's service to God was done to the point of nearly costing him his own life. However, because Daniel worshiped God first, God spared him. You'll notice, brothers and sisters, that both Joseph and Daniel used godly principles while serving their earthly masters. If the situation arose in which the principles of God might be compromised by serving their earthly masters, they without hesitation put God's principles first. Both of them risked their lives to serve God, and in both instances, God saved them because they served God first. This is a key point in being a servant of God, brothers and sisters. We must serve God first and always in all aspects of our lives. We cannot, as Matthew tells us in chapter 6, verse 24, serve two masters. Our service must be to God. Now, what does service to God entail, brothers and sisters? Well, if you were a king in Israel or Judah, it would entail serving the people. This is something that Rehoboam did not do, even though Solomon's advisor, Solomon, remember, the wise king, because God granted him the wisdom, right? So you would think that Solomon's advisors would also be wise. Apparently this was lost on Rehoboam. He didn't listen to Solomon's advisors. This is in 1 Kings chapter 12. We'll start in verse 4 for a little context. "Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he has put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee," is what the people are saying. "And he said unto them, Depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, How do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him." So this idea here that Rehoboam failed to understand being a servant was essential to being a leader, something that Christ understood perfectly. Rehoboam did not like the idea of having to serve. I mean, after all, he was king, right? He could do whatever he wanted to. That attitude, though, is a very bad one to have. And it led him to do what was evil in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, we do not want to be Rehoboam. We want to have the attitude that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has. That attitude is found in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Christ became a servant. He knows he's going to be the king of the whole earth. Yet he chooses to serve the people that he leads rather than himself. Notice the stark contrast, brothers and sisters, between Rehoboam and Christ. Their attitudes could not be more different. Not only did Jesus' attitude show his service and devotion to God, but his actions did as well. If you turn with me now to John chapter 13, this is the readings coming up in the next couple of weeks. You'll be reading this. So when you guys get to it, remember, being a servant of God is first and foremost in our lives. Chapter 13, starting in verse 4 of the Gospel of John. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He's leading by example. He's showing the disciples that they need to serve in order to fulfill their roles as disciples. How fitting is it that Jesus appointed his disciples certain tasks. This is similar to our reading earlier in which the king assigned certain tasks to the leaders of the tribes and assigned certain leaders to be servants of the king in various capacities, like tending the flocks, overseeing the planting. In the Old Testament, the king appointed tasks to his subjects. In the New Testament, the future king, Jesus, appointed tasks to his disciples. In the Old Testament, God gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. God granted Daniel, this is from Daniel chapter 1, knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And in the New Testament, as we read this morning in John chapter 1, verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." God gave John the Baptist the task of making straight the way of the Lord. And also we read in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, that some were apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. John the Baptist was sent to make straight the path and to bear witness of the light. John preached that Jesus was the Son of God. Daniel and Joseph preached that God was the only true God. Their masters, Daniel and Joseph's masters, believed that God could do the things that he is able to do through the example given by Daniel and Joseph. And Jesus Christ shows us that we need to serve God in the capacity that we are able. If we are not servants of God, brothers and sisters, then we are servants to mammon, just as Rehoboam was. Christ gave us the perfect example of what a servant of God should do. We must do as Christ did, brothers and sisters. We must become servants. We must wash each other's feet. We must do the things that will help us all of us, enter into the kingdom of God. Christ's blood bought our lives in service to God in order to save us. His life of service is what made him the perfect sacrifice. We must live our lives as Christ did. We must fulfill our roles as servants. We can serve the ecclesia in numerous ways, and we can serve our brothers and sisters in numerous ways. We all know what those ways are because we all have been given different skills. We need to utilize the skills that God gave us, brothers and sisters. Some of us are excellent at leading the ecclesia. Some of us are excellent at reaching out to others, sending a card to somebody who's not feeling well, right? We all have skills that need to be utilized in the ecclesia to help us grow and to help us serve God. We need to utilize those skills that God gave us. If we do not, then we have not Christ in our hearts. Let us, brothers and sisters, serve the Lord our God with every fiber of our being and not give in to wickedness. Because in serving, brothers and sisters, we humble ourselves and put God first as Christ did. We'll close this morning with the words of Psalm 84, verse 10. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness.